Good morning. Lord is gracious. You know, we are so surrounded continually. We got me there? Okay. We're so surrounded with, well, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, which the God of this age loves to use. And when I mention those three, I am focusing for just a moment on the pressure continually upon us as God's children to become enamored with things and with this life that we have down here. Let's turn to Hebrews, if I can find my glasses. If I get a little short on oxygen, it's because I decided to take it off. So hopefully you'll bear with me if we hesitate. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then verse down in 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Pilgrims and strangers on this earth. A Bedouin mentality, a pilgrim mentality. I'm a stranger down here. The song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. A friend of mine there in Arkansas, we were talking the other day. He said, yeah, he said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And I thought, yeah, that's right. You can send it on ahead. A Bedouin or a sojourner mentality is one that I don't own anything down here. Doing a little bit of reading the other day in customs and manners about what Bedouins call home. You know what they call home? They don't call their tent their home. They called the land upon which they are at that time their home. So their home is all of the time shifting. They don't have an anchor on any piece of property. They're just there for a while because they're going to be moving on. Brethren, we're going to be moving on. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims. Stranger, the word for that, well, is stranger. Someone who is sojourning. Someone who is not a part of the citizenship. A pilgrim. One who wanders. In Philippians chapter 3, Brother Mitch mentioned it earlier. Let's turn there for a moment. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The word in the Greek that's translated conversation here is only used one time in the New Testament. In other words, anytime you see the word conversation outside of this, it's a different word. And that word, excuse me, for conversation is citizen. That's interesting. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's our home. It's heaven. It's not here. It's not, I have a residence still, supposedly, just off Mission Boulevard. That's not my home. And of course, I'm not living there now, but it means nothing. It's not a possession I have. It is something that I've been entrusted to what? To be a steward over. The cars we have, the land we might possess, the bank accounts that we get, those are so temporary. So then, why do we tend to put so much treasure or so much value in those things? Solomon said, riches make themselves wings and fly away. What we have down here is so temporary. You know, our life is just a blimp in eternity. And what we have down here is so temporal. In fact, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, we were, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were alien to Israel. That is, we weren't a part of them. We weren't a part of that family. But we who were sometimes afar off are now fellow citizens with the saints. No more foreigners. We have a home. We have an inheritance. And what a blessing that is. But what an important concept to have continually in our mind as a Christian, because everything else is just, well, temporal. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. You know what that verse is, I bet, most of you. That's where he says, now then we are ambassadors. We may just be here temporarily, but we're not left here with nothing to do. We're left here to represent the kingdom that we're a part of. We're an ambassador sent by the king to represent him and his interests. We're here for the Lord. And what we portray should be wrapped up in, surrounded by the kingdom of heaven and the will of God. That is our purpose as a Christian, given ministry of reconciliation and made an ambassador. So everything that we do is in some way representative of who we are. So what we do had better match who we really are, and that is a representative of the Lord. The political atmosphere of not only our nation, but the world is such that if we're not careful, we're worried about who's going to get elected, who or what's going to happen. Those things we have no control over. And if we spend our time complaining or criticizing or trying to figure out how we're going to change all that, we can be a representative, but those things are outside of our ability to control, aren't they? We can control how we represent the Lord, what we say, what we do, how we behave. In 2 Corinthians 5, excuse me, chapter 4, let's turn there for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting, well, verse 18. While we look not on at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. They're not lasting. But the things which are not seen are eternal. He's already said in chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As a Christian, we can't walk according to what we see, that is, in the flesh, or in this world, but we look at those things which are eternal, ever focused upon our heavenly home that is yet to come. John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, that's where the Lord said, I go and what? Prepare a place for you. And he says, and if I go, I'll come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We've got a kingdom to come. We've got a city whose builder and maker is God. It's future for us, but it's as real as if we presently were in it. That is the sense that we don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to be able to procure that, whether he's going to be able to finish it, whether or not he's going to be able to get us there. We know by faith that we're going to be there someday. So he's preparing a place, and he'll receive us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Oops. There we go. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then here's the clincher in that. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart, the mind, the perspective of a Bedouin. Where's your treasure? Is it laid up somewhere beyond the blue? Or is it down here? Is that what we value most? The Lord wants us to value those things that are eternal, not those things that are temporal. So the instruction of Christ here in his Sermon on the Mount is don't put all your eggs in this basket of this world, but put your confidence and your trust and your value in that which is not going to be corrupted, not going to be stolen. Amen? We've got heaven to come. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I'd like to actually end with this. If I'm going to get done too quick, y'all will forgive me, right? If I give more time to Brother Brian, maybe I can do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. I think I still have that. Here it is. It is in my Bible. Okay, verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. What does he beg us to do? What does he plead with us to do? Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're bound for heaven. That's where our citizenship is. But we've got a work to do, right? Ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, We don't need to be laying up all of our treasure. That doesn't mean we shouldn't own anything down here, okay? Abraham was a very rich man, and yet he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He didn't put any store in all the riches he had, and he was a very rich man. It doesn't matter if the Lord blesses you with all kinds of provision physically. Just remember, it's temporary, right? We look on those things which are above. And as strangers and pilgrims, because we're just down here a short while, he said, abstain from fleshly lust. In other words, our walk needs to match our talk. Amen. That even as we're a stranger and a pilgrim down here, and as citizens of the kingdom, we do not want to be damaged in our testimony by the way that we live. We want to abstain from those fleshly lusts. Hold off of that. Stay away from that. Avoid those things. Why? Well, they war against our soul. When we stand before the Lord, we want to be able to say, Lord, I have these gems. This is what I did for you sacrificially, unconditionally. This is my life. I gave it for you so that we'll have something to offer him. And if we don't abstain from fleshly lust, it does so much damage. And it does shame unto our Lord and Savior who died for us, who gave himself for us.